Yo,
what's happening, man?
What it be like, Pastor Jeff?
We here. It's another day, another dollar, baby.
Another day, another Sunday evening.
Yes,
another episode of Religiously Incorrect Podcast.
R.I.P. all day.
Welcomes, 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 saints, guests, and friends. We welcome you once. We welcome you twice. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ.
The saints, the ain'ts, the can'ts.
Yeah, the wannabes. Everybody. Everybody is up in this piece. It is the Valentine's. Now, we got to say it with an M. Valentine's.
Valentine's.
Like the black folks say, Valentine's Day episode. People are booed up. There's a lot of, hey, there's a lot of people talking about Jesus is my Valentine. Yeah, I'm starting off. Jesus is my Valentine. I'm taking myself to dinner.
My girl posted. she said, don't end up having a baby over a Valentine's Day gift here. And it was a picture of a Motel 6 room.
Listen, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself.
Some of y'all, the $38.95 special.
Right, man. Hey, that's a bargain, brother. You know, we was out in the world. We call that a bargain booty. But I'm not out in the world. So I don't know anything about that.
That's that 2 hour a piece jump.
About an hour, two hours
in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, 2 hours at night. Then you spend the night by yourself.
Pay by the hour, man. And then you know we're gonna shout out everybody. With the, you know, all the side pieces that's going to get your flowers and candy tomorrow.
Yep. And don't be getting upset. You know you the side piece.
You know it.
You know you the side piece.
You know anybody stuck in traffic and worn. You don't take that long to change no flat tire.
Talking about, at least you could have texted me. No, I couldn't. I was
the lies. My dog had to go to the hospital. So we got to kick it off, Jeff. The story of the week. Believe it or not, it's not impeachment. It's not impeachment. It should be. But just to show you how messed up our world is, President Harrison, the story of the week is Gorilla Glue Girl. It's become like a saga. Have you followed this, Jeff? Have you seen any of this?
I've only seen a little bit. I really haven't followed it. All I know is that the doctor who performed the surgery on her came from wherever he came from with $200 and is now a multimillionaire. He's from Youngstown, I guess. He can't move to Youngstown, whatever. So,
well,
good. God bless him.
You see, he ain't in Youngstown no more. He knew he couldn't make it in the yard with all that money.
He still sends his tithes to Pastor Harrison.
I hope he does. Hey, he must be. Pastor Harrison building a whole new church over there.
I looked at that carpet.
Hey, Pastor Harrison, you putting a bearskin rug up there on the on the pulpit?
He gonna get one of them jumps like Hennings that come out the ground.
Oh yeah, the Transformers pulpit, Prime joint.
Yes.
Oh sir. Man, it's beautiful. So here's the story though. Hey, Pastor Tatum, good to see you. So here's the story. So a young lady puts Gorilla Glue in her hair. I guess it's that stuff. I don't know a lot about hair products and all, but it's supposed to really slick it down. And there are real products to do this. There are real products, you know. And there's actually a product called Gorilla Something. Maybe some of you ladies can help me out. There is an actual hair product called Gorilla Something. All right.
First of all, why are you using Gorilla anything in your hair?
Well, if it was called Gorilla, I wouldn't want to use it. I wouldn't want to use Gorilla nothing.
I use Gorilla in my hair. You see what happened?
Right. That's what happened. So she puts it in and it becomes a whole saga. And then people are debating whether or not it's you know, a hoax. Somebody says she was touched. You know, she might have a problem, like an emotional. So, yeah, okay, it's called Gorilla Snot. Now, that's even more disgusting. As a matter of fact, if I had to choose between Gorilla Glue and Gorilla Snot, I'd take the glue. I take the glue too. So now maybe I have a better understanding of this. I have a better understanding because I would take the glue before the snot as well.
I threw up when Christian snot got on my hands.
Yeah, Jeff can't take no bodily fluids. Just so everybody knows, Jeff has the weakest stomach on earth. I can't even order a steak the way I want it when I'm out with Jeff because he won't make it through. He won't make it through. But anyway,
you order the Red Sea steak. How you want your steak? I want it like the Red Sea.
I want you to drag the cow in here right now and just put it on my table. I'll skin it myself. So here it is. So she got this glue. She puts it in her hair. And then it becomes an ordeal because she goes to emergency and everything. Now, Jeff, here's another part of this. I am baffled by people who have these incidents, and then every single step of the incident ends up on Facebook.
Right.
Okay? And I'm like, who is following you around with a camera to the emergency room, even to Beverly Hills? Like, every step of the way, there's a picture of it. And she's not the only one. So maybe that's one of my first issues is, that's what makes me think some of this stuff is intentional, because there ain't that much picture taken in the world if you are in the middle of an actual crisis. That's just me.
I just don't want the embarrassment. I just don't want the embarrassment.
Which, again, makes me wonder, and I don't know if it's a very minor delusion. That's not much different than what we see in, like, reality TV. She could have injured herself, Jameson, but she didn't, and that's why we can laugh now. I think if she had injured herself, this probably would not be the subject of our conversation. So, again, this person put their entire life on not just the first thing, not just the first announcement, but, like, the whole process. Mm-hmm. Then there's the GoFundMe. We have to help this person now. Now, I've glued a few things together, you know, my fingers or... The idea of starting a GoFundMe for everything... It's and now she had like $30,000 she raised. I don't know how much it cost to get out to Beverly Hills for all of this stuff. But thankfully, apparently she did not pocket the extra money. She donated supposedly $20,000 to some charity or something out of this GoFundMe. So I guess that's good news.
That's cool.
But so here's the other flip side. Now I have to hear from people who are legitimately raising money for things. And I know all about that because I raise money for things too. And they're like, how dare you all? Then they lecture everybody. Like, how dare you all, you know, donate to this? Which, by the way, if you live in Youngstown or Warren or some other location, probably ain't nobody around you donating to this person anyway. But they get so indignant about the fact that this person has raised all this money and I have, let's just say my black boys read it. I'm trying to read black boys' books and don't nobody give me no money. Well, that's the nature of going viral in social media. And your thing, it's almost the same thing as like, you know, everybody's going to Popeye's to get a chicken sandwich, but nobody went to parent-teacher conference.
Right.
Or everybody goes to the game in sub-zero weather and nobody came to church.
Right.
It's not the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just feel like I'm tired of people getting indignant. I have tried to exercise that out of my vocabulary, this whole comparison stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on that? Like, when things go viral and you see people who don't seem to deserve, but they get it anyway, I mean, do you feel that's a legitimate reason to be mad at folks for not supporting whatever you do?
No, I mean, you got a choice. You know, it's a simple choice. Whether you want to spend you simply do. I mean, you have a choice whether you want to give your money to whatever, whoever, and those people don't actually know what you are giving to. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
I don't, you know, even when I go to McDonald's and they're like, you want to give a dollar to, no, I don't.
I always say no.
I give my money to what I want to give it to.
Right.
You know, I mean, true, today I went to Family Dollar and I came out of Family Dollar and there's a guy walking up to me, you know how Family Dollar is smart, you know, and he's hey, listen, man, I ain't trying to, and this is a Caucasian guy. I'm not trying to, I ain't on drugs, but I got a interview tomorrow. And I'm like, hold up, let me stop you right there. Hold up. And I, you know, I've done the Kevin Hart. Hold up. Let me stop right there. First of all, I don't keep any cash on me. So even though I wanted to help you, I couldn't help you.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I have that choice though.
Well, what are you going to do, Jeff, when them, when them dudes outside the stores get some square readers or one of them credit cards? They'd be like, yo, they'd be like, you're in luck.
Until then, it has been the greatest tool. You don't keep, if I don't keep,
I don't have any cash.
I don't have to lie. I ain't got to lie.
Well, my dad told me the best line. He said, I'm sorry, sir, I don't have anything for you. Everything I have is for me.
I know we got to move on, but remember the one day it was me, you, and Ted, and the guy came and he was asking for some money. He was like, "Man, we'll buy you some food," and he's like, "Okay."
we was mad. We was mad. He took us up on the offer. It was all Jeff's fault, though. Jeff wasn't saved at the time. He's like, "All right, so what we do now?"
But you said, we really got to buy this dude McDonald's. We all had to pitch in to buy a McDonald's.
I'll be like, here, man, just take the money, man. You caught our bluff. You caught our bluff today. You won. You won the jackpot today. So Gorilla Glue Girl is just, and here's the thing. Social media is basically just a mob that moves from one story to the next.
Right.
That's basically what social media does. And once in a while, we're all a part of the crowd mob. And most of the time we're not, you know, but, and also believe this, just like this stocks thing that just jumped off, which I, you know, a whole bunch of folk about to just lose their entire pensions over this mess, GameStop and everything else. People apparently do not mind throwing money away, which often makes me think, do y'all really need these stimuluses if y'all all just willing to throw your money away on all this stupid stuff? Because it piles up.
It does.
It piles up. It does. You know, we wish the best to Gorilla Glue Girl, and anybody, you know, feels like, you know, don't pick on her. You know, I feel you, Jameson. Don't, no disrespect, but once somebody puts their story out there, it is no mystery what happens when you put a picture on Facebook and say something crazy happened to you. And you know what? I'm gonna say one more thing, because maybe I and you know, this will be a part of our subject tonight, even though we will speak to our sponsor. I can't get over, Jeff, and I know you've seen these on Facebook and on Twitter or wherever you might see them, these fake, and because they are fake, text message conversations between a guy and a girl, and then it's, what would you do? Yeah. So this guy goes out with a girl and her friend comes along and, you know, does he pay for her meal? Or the guy who the girl wants the kid to pay for the kid's lunch money, and he says, no, you should have had the baby daddy do it. Or, you know, the guy goes on a date one time with a girl and she asks for $20 the next day. And first of all, I am convinced they're all fake. First of all, I'm convinced that those are just fake screenshots of text messages. And it's just creating, again, attention. People want to go viral.
Right. In that case, I'm seeing a lot of the prophetic ones where, you know, the message that, you know, you called this out and this actually happened, or, you know, I'm going to pay this much money for you. I'm going to bless you with this much. I'm like, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. And I'll add one more, since we are talking about what's love got to do with it tonight. These videos of, like, people, you know, confronting each other, you know, in stores or in restaurants and all that. It's staged, man. It's straight staged.
I don't know how many I've really seen in real life. And it was not my motive to take out my phone to record. I just didn't have. First of all, I wanted to stop. I think it's crazy. Did y'all fighting or, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
Y'all 52 years old, somebody about to break a hip.
Right.
You know, I am not trying to get Facebook famous by pulling out my phone. And so, you know, who is all these people recording? Is that literally what you do?
Well, a dude did it to me once a couple weeks ago when his spot was getting raided next to our building. And I told him, the cat walks up, he parks his car in my parking lot and started recording. I'm like, dude, you got to go, you know. He turns his camera on me, Like, who you think you are? I said, my name's Pastor Todd. Hey, everybody. Pastor Todd out here telling me I ain't allowed on his property. What kind of pastor are you? I'm like, fool, you about to get beat up because I got some cousins. I got some cousins going to see this video. I don't know who you think you're intimidating, but all us Johnsons ain't saved. So you go ahead and put your little video up. And sure enough, a couple of my little young cousins and different ones started seeing the video like, you know, bro, what's up? What, you know, what's up? Why are you messing with Pastor T? So it's a lot of people that want to go viral. And there's, and we all know in social media, there's money attached to it now. There's people who have built whole brands off of this stuff. So who knows? Gorilla Glue Girl probably have like a Netflix special next year or something.
Let her go.
So before we get into our subject and before Jeff jumps up to say one more thing, we want to shout out our sponsor. We always attribute it to the Phillips family of businesses. That's what I start calling it now. They should... Fernando, you guys should give me a little bit of, royalties. Not like I don't already owe you enough money, but the Phillips family of businesses, starting with High Street Fitness in Cortland, they are running a special sign-up special, $1 registration fee. Jeff, does that convince you? Does that convince you to sign up?
You know what? I am definitely going to go check him out. I told my wife I'm going to go check him out just to see what he got popping off.
Okay.
Just to check. I ain't about to, you know, work out with him, but I will go and see.
Yeah, I'll go look. I'll go walk on the treadmill for like 2 minutes. So the Phillips Care, who are the proud new owners of High Street Fitness in Cortland. I don't have my address in front of me, but it's on High Street in Cortland. Cortland ain't that big. So you can sign up special. Come check out the new equipment. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their website. We appreciate Phillips Care for being a sponsor. And by the way, they got all new stuff. They ain't got them old raggedy bikes that we already wore out and stuff. Right. They got the good stuff. They ain't got like them old 1920s rubber bands and stuff and medicine balls and then big leather belts. You know, they got the real stuff. So we appreciate Phillips Care. We appreciate High Street Fitness. Thank you for being our sponsors. We'll be talking more about the Phillips Care family of businesses. But Jeff, our subject tonight, everybody watching, is what's love got to do with it?
Happy Valentine's Day.
What's love? What's it say? So check this out, Jeff. So after church today, thankfully I did not watch any angry black movies before service, so I did not drop any racial slurs this Sunday. But I did watch Malcolm X after. So I was just tired. I watched Malcolm X. And I noticed something, Jeff. Angela Bassett plays Malcolm's wife in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the whole movie, she has like the head wrap on and she's like the conservative woman until she starts fussing at Malcolm about the people being against him. And they have a big argument in the house about how his friends ain't really his friends and all that.
Right.
Why does she have on the Tina Turner wig with the flipped up, with the perm and the big flipped up hair? Go watch the movie. Go on YouTube. Watch the movie, the whole movie. She has the very conservative Muslim woman, Nation of Islam, wonderful portrayal of a beautiful black sister who's living that life. But as soon as she start getting up in Denzel's face, all of a sudden she act like she arguing with Ike Turner. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. She's not arguing.
She wants a rom-com, yum, 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 yum.
Yeah.
Rum, yum, yum.
So Pastor Jeff, we are talking love and relationships in the 21st century. And we're opening up the floor for questions about marriage, divorce, relationships. We're going to talk about, as pastors, how are we coping with this new world? Because, Jeff, both of us are basically, we're pretty traditional brothers.
Exactly.
You're a little older and you had a little bit different lifestyle and story than I had, you know, coming up. I was kind of church boy. I had my dirt in the church. You kind of ran it and just, you know, you had a past. You had, you know, you previously married. You know, you were a cool cat in school, did the army thing. You know, you had that game. I mean, really, I didn't have that. I wasn't out there rapping. But it's a whole new world, bro.
It is.
There's this idea of, you know, settling down. You know, we don't have relationships anymore. We have situationships, entanglements.
Entanglements.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just
friends with benefits.
And by the way, and a whole lot of stuff that doesn't even have a label. I'm right. Talking just people. It's not that this didn't always exist. Let's not pretend. this didn't always exist. But it's become an accepted norm. This is not something anybody's hiding a secret family somewhere. This ain't about, you know, the guy kind of slipping. This is an accepted, I just got a special friend. It just is the way it is. Jeff, as a pastor, obviously, us pastors are trying to promote love and marriage, traditional family units. Where are we going wrong, man? I mean, we're not connecting, I don't think, with the younger and older generation, by the way. So what's your take, man, on what we're seeing?
I don't think we're going wrong. I think we are
It's the heathen's fault.
I mean, you do realize they're only with us 2 days a week for the most part.
Half a day, Doc.
You know, in 2 hours of that day, and you know, it is a lot of peer pressure out there. It is a lot of peer pressure, whether it's, you know, to have premarital sex or whether it is that, you know, be exploratory. You know, now that's really where it's at now. You know, women with women, men with men, and I'm, you know, this is not a bashing session, but it is what it is. That, you know, that is the new end thing. It's the new popular thing. And you can't tell nobody about it. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You can't judge anything. I mean, as a side note to that phrase you just said, that is literally how a preacher I heard started off a eulogy recently. It's been some months. Let me back. It's been some months. But a preacher who will remain unnamed actually started off his like first sentence was, "In the world we live in, women's with women's." Men's with men's. Like, where is this going? It's a eulogy. What is a you? So, okay, how much is it really peer pressure? Okay, maybe we're talking about kids, young people, but I'm saying overall, regardless of age group, is there in your mind a certain disbelief now in the traditional family unit and in traditional relationships and marriage to wit? To the point to where, you know, we were talking years ago about how 50% of marriages end in divorce or something. People have watched these 50% of marriages end in divorce. And that is not a good ratio. It's not a good percentage of success. So most people are saying, if there is a 50% chance that this is not going to work, and probably 100% chance I'm going to be embarrassed at some point in my life, why even do it?
And, you know, I mean, we always said, for years, you know, why buy the cow? Why buy the milk when you get the cow? Well, however you say that.
Yeah. Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? The
milk and all.
Then you find out it's almond milk, soy milk. Now you have diarrhea. What you gonna do?
But I mean, they just it's you know, I see so many of my friends, man. It just that, and I mean, guys I went to school with, I ain't gonna never get married, you know. Don't. What was the saying is, don't marry them. I can't even think what they say, but I know what they say. No, I can't think of it. It's on Facebook. I've seen it on Facebook a couple of times, but I mean, I don't understand why people don't want the commitment.
Because people aren't being committed to them. I mean, I'm just saying it's, and let's be honest here, from the church, to everywhere else, we have watched what we consider to be the best of relationships blow up.
Right.
This is not just a bunch of people who just decided to be as evil and hedonistic as possible. They have watched their pastors get divorced. They have watched grandparents. They have watched people come out with these crazy scandals. We have heroes like, or so-called heroes like Will and Jada and whatnot. And we're looking at these relationships like, you know, Will and Jada, Jay-Z and Beyonce, you know, even the pop culture couples. It's a mess. So I feel like it's not just people being evil. I think that good people have gone in the wrong direction. And honestly, I mean, Jeff, you already know my fight when it comes to integrity in the pulpit and when it comes to how we should conduct ourselves. And we have washed so much of that under the rug, but the rug is so lumpy now. Everybody's tripping over it and falling over it. And then we're asking people to believe in something that even the best of us have not been able to conquer and succeed at. Tatum said something really great. She says that we're increasingly put that up, Big Mike, living in a culture where the wedding is more important than the marriage. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was bad 15 years ago when we got married and my wife, you know, maybe just wanted to make sure her dress didn't look too much like somebody else's. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the colors weren't the same as some other married couple that we knew were going to get married. Now it's like you literally have to suck the whole wedding party and family up in your life for 2 years. You have to start a whole TV show, a blog, a Facebook page, you know.
And you got to dance during the wedding. You got to do the
right
dance.
You have to learn a wedding dance. You got to sing the New Edition songs. You got to hire Denzel Washington to direct your engagement photos and parachute off of the Empire State Building.
You got to do it. Use Angela Bassett's whole book to write your vows.
You're right. And again, now does that not connect us to what we said at the beginning about everybody wanting to go viral and have as much attention as the next?
Oh, definitely.
And people will put that kind of attention into a relationship that's not a marriage. I've watched people have like anniversary banquets and were never married. They were just together for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they sitting in the big King Tut chairs and stuff, you know, them big chairs you can rent now. That make it look like you know.
I think that's one of the problems is that a lot of them are happy.
Is that a problem, Jeff? Is it a problem if people are just happy and they have found a different path than going and getting a license?
Is it a problem? Is it a problem for them? No, but for everybody else who's looking and they're looking at this married couple having all these problems, arguing every day, you know, fussing and fighting. Sleeping in different bedrooms and all this stuff. And then you're looking at this couple who's, you know, just basically kicking it. You know, she go out one night, he go out the next night. They go their separate ways, but they come home together.
They got understanding.
You know what I mean? And so I think we've literally fallen in love and fallen out of like.
Wow.
That happens so often that, you know, we married a person, you know, and we end up loving them, but we stop liking them. And so what happens?
Wait, I always thought that was kind of cute because I knew plenty of old couples that very clearly don't seem to like each other. But and then, you know, once, you know, we've been in it for a minute now and we feel the same way sometimes. You're like, man, I don't even know if I like you, but I love you.
But see, I think you're right, but I think that's one of the biggest problems with that is that, you know, when you love somebody, you're not as honest with them. You know what I mean? So you saying, you know, did she gain a little weight? Yeah, but I love her. You know what I'm saying?
But also you tolerate more and you don't have to have fluffy feelings when you love somebody.
Right.
And Marlon has a great part to that. You know, he talks about the influence of social media and reality TV, like we're saying, and people are looking at these relationships and we have come. I love that last phrase. We have come to admire relationships that are filled with toxic, you know, aspects to it. Yeah. And honestly, we think, what was that one song that Alicia Keys did? We Fight Like Ike and Tina, you know, Unbreakable, whatever. Mm-hmm. We have started to glorify the back and forth, fighting, makeup, breakup. It used to be like a tragedy and a trauma and people actually crying on record about, you know, literally Teddy Pendergrass and Lenny Williams and all that.
Yes, sir.
Like they had to stop the record. Like, yo, this dude for real. Like, stop the record. This is the whole song. He probably had four other verses to that song he didn't sing.
And I called you late at night.
Now,
nobody has the phone. Now,
remember when they used to go tell stories? They used to tell stories about who they missed. But what I'm saying is, Marlon is right. We have glorified that in and out. Toxic fighting, sometimes abuse, cheating, people proud to say you might have had him, but he's mine. He's coming back home to me and all of that stuff. And again, we have famous people wrapped up in that and everybody wants to be like them. So they, you know, but we're in the realm of marriage. So Jeff, I got a question for you. If people come to a commitment and a covenant and they just don't do it in front of you, can they have a marriage outside of marriage?
Well, I mean,
there's no template in the Bible on a wedding ceremony.
You're absolutely
and there's no right. command to go get a license from the government.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've said that many times. I've said, you know, if my wife and I lose our wedding certificate, whatever, you know,
if the courthouse burned down, you're still married.
Right. We're still married. It doesn't take away from us being married. So I mean, you
my
know,
grandparents were common law married.
So my mother thinks she was. I don't know.
Not she thought she was.
Right. You know, she always said, we common law. I'm like, y'all go together. Y'all been going together for 32 years.
70-year-old boyfriend and girlfriend.
Y'all playing house. But, you know, I mean.
They playing CBS News and chill.
I mean, like you said, biblically, when you lay together, you know, if we go by, you know, the you know, when Jesus told the woman, you have six husbands and the one you with ain't yours now. I mean, I would still say they need to go get it certified. But
if they don't, is their marriage less legitimate in God's eyes?
Well, I mean, how many people they married to then?
They might not be married to anybody else.
No, they are. They are. Trust me. They might be married to three or four of them at the same time.
There's a few unicorns out there, and there's some folk that's legally with three or four at the same time in three or four different states.
True.
You know what I'm saying? How many? We all didn't have to listen to that story.
Mm-hmm.
That this sucker didn't even tell me he wasn't divorced from his wife.
I had one at the church, so.
All day. So relationships, and I think, excuse me, we blame young people too much when honestly, they take their cues from a society that has been built for them. They didn't come out the womb thinking different. I think that they observed quite a bit. And thank you, Big Mike. And God help me when these various persons and, dare I say, extracurricular children show up to funerals or come to collect their rights from the family that they are part of and demand to be acknowledged, it does create a mess. So remember, the whole point of marriage in the official sense was that so we would have some sort of social order. So we would have a social order. Everybody just kind of knows, okay, you should get the check if this dude die.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of talk about that. You know, you don't have your papers, so if you get left high and dry, you know, that's why you should have did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that, honestly, the world is not tied to that so much. And as pastors, we now have to contend with people who have lived in a world that is normalized to non-marriage relationships, sometimes agreed to polygamous relationships, for lack of a better term. People who are in and out, and we better not say nothing. We can have been the ones who counseled somebody through heartbreak, and when they walk up in that church with that same person that broke their heart nine times, we better not say nothing.
Well, let's take it a step further, since this is religiously incorrect, and we are pastors. How do you deal with somebody in that relationship, in a position, a leadership position, at the church? And I mean, and I think, you know, this happens a lot where, you know, it is quiet as kept. You know, they're living together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're probably sexing, you know, matter of fact, they got a kid together, but
right.
They're not married, but this person has.
Well, as it concerns leadership, I'd like to say, I don't want to lie on myself. You know, we've been fairly consistent. I've strived to be fairly consistent. That leadership is something where you hold a harder hammer over individuals and simply say that this is not acceptable in your position. Lay members, people who are just coming to church. Obviously, we are not in the era where you're really like putting people out of church anymore and excommunicating them over things that are anything short of basically trying to burn the church down or jump up and say that, you know, they worship Satan. I mean, at this point, We're not really excommuting people from the church, but leadership, yes, I've been in that situation.
Okay, so let's make it specific. What are we calling leadership? Can an usher be living with somebody? Can a praise and worship? Can I pray somebody on the praise and worship team?
Okay, now you're having a church hierarchy conversation, and I am very adamant that every function in church is not a leadership position. No matter how many people try to twist scripture, and I'll call it twisting scripture. Maybe you're not twisting scripture. I'm not going to dog nobody out. But people talking about ushers are leaders and the choir members are leader, and you're an example of a sort, a more visible example as a representative of the church. Yes. But so is the flight attendant or, you know, the cashier at Foot Locker. Right. They're not the leader of that company.
Right.
They're not on the board. They're not a decision maker. They determine nothing. They have no real responsibility, and it's minute. So in the purest sense, and I know this might bother a lot of folk, but that's why the show is called what it's called. I don't make that. Because the problem isn't the ushers. The problem isn't the choir members as much. People will talk about that. But when you talk about hypocrisies and you talk about people who are living dirty, it's really actual real leaders that people have a problem with. It is the pastors and the deacons and the ministers.
Right, right.
Okay. And honestly, we have heard more stories of people who are tired of people being shamed out of their position, like the choir members who were forced to repent and get up in front of people and sat down over everything while the higher ups were getting away with the same behavior. Absolutely. So I don't want to get into that conversation. You know what I mean?
Well,
everybody views it different.
Right.
Leaders in general, I have more sway over. You cannot serve because there is a higher call on your life as a servant of this church in the manner of leadership, servant leadership. Right. That'd be me.
Right. And I know we've talked about it, especially when we were both at Agape before. You know, because so many people have talked down on young ladies who want to have baby showers in the church. And we're talking about what's love got to do with it. I mean, the baby is not the baby's fault. It you know, and that's
the baby and the baby ain't enjoying the party or the cake or the punch either. To be honest. Everything that concerns the baby at that party, they're not even going to notice or see until they're born, and they could have gotten it without a party.
Yeah, yeah.
So the age-old debate of are you glorifying out-of-wedlock relationships, you know, then the other side is if you say no, you're condemning people, you know, when other folk are doing it, but they didn't get pregnant, but it's the same thing. But, you know, those other folk that didn't get pregnant aren't the ones asking us for this.
Right.
So there it is. But, you know, how far do we go in giving grace to these relationships with the hopes of guiding people towards marriage and teaching them the standard of sexuality and all of that? How much grace do you give in the process? Mark said, good evening. He's on a date with his hot wife. And y'all got a baby on the way, by the way. Congratulations, Mark.
Congratulations.
We got a shirt coming to you. You know what? We're just going to keep the shirt and just send you some diapers. We're going to send you some religiously incorrect diapers because I know you already have children, so you know that them diapers are going to be real raw and uncut. But what's the line then between showing grace to people who are in that situation because you're hoping to steer them in the right direction? And maybe the idea that they're not really interested in going in that direction that we value, but they still want to be a part. They still want to be fully in and fully on and not made to feel that they're doing anything wrong. And even if they are, they're going to play that comparison game where it ain't no more wrong than pick your sin.
I think it's having conversations. I think it's having, like we just said, real raw and uncut conversations about where they are in their relationship with each other and where they are in their relationship with God. I think we as pastors have to be able to have those conversations. We can't be scared to, you know, to lose somebody. You know, I've always said, if you need them, you can't lead them. So you can't be scared to lose somebody because you're setting a standard and you're willing to stand on the standard that you're setting. Right. It's not that, you know, you're trying to down talk them, but you are trying to persuade them to, you know, live holy. It's not even what you're saying. It's what God has said.
Right.
So it's
right.
not, you know, it's, these ain't your words. It's just something that you live by and you expect it out of those who you shepherd.
All right, Jeff, switching gears, Pastor. The subject tonight for everyone joining us is what's love got to do with it. Like, share this video, give us your comments. If you have a question for us about as pastors, we'd love to hear some questions and answer some questions, perhaps how we deal with different scenarios and situations concerning love and relationships. We'd love to answer them. I know Pastor Jeff would. Excuse me. How are we contending now, Pastor Jeff, with the proliferation? It's my big word tonight. The proliferation of advice, of, you know, worldly wisdom. We're hearing everything. You know, we used to talk about don't be unequally yoked. Now you got people talking about make sure y'all match energies. You know, how do we talk to people about soul ties and the belief in soul ties? And then you have people kind of going real deep. I'm already skeptical of the whole soul tie thing. Some of you will get mad at me about that. They literally start talking about people left spirits up in you and they left demons in you and never give a scripture, ever give a scripture for it. But they just go through a whole sermon about, you know, now you got to get the demons out of you and all that. Then there is the financial and who should take care of who. A lot of that based outside of marriage once again.
Absolutely.
You know, who eats first, your man or your kids? I'm like, well, man, you know, but there's no difference for people. So what do you do when you're contending with, like, let's talk about the soul ties thing. People are giving deep advice. They're advising young ladies, if you've had multiple sex partners and you want to, you know, burn some sage, you know, do this, read this book, affirm yourself, and all that other stuff. Then they're coming to your church, too. And they're melding your sermons with this other stuff. How do you handle that?
Well, my first comment is, like you just said, let's talk about it biblically. Let's sit down and let's talk about this biblically. Let's not, you know, give me he said, she said. We want to be like the Bereans. The Bereans said, you know, I heard what you said, Paul and Silas, but I'm about to check it out for myself. Right. We want to check those things out, because oftentimes what they're saying and what's really meant by what they said is completely different. So, okay. You know, we can't. I don't really deal with the whole soul tie things. I mean, listen, let's just be honest. The life I live, I'm tied to my.
You're the spider web, Doc. Brother, you Spider-Man. You the first Miles Morales.
If this whole soul tie thing is true, Lord have mercy. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, I could walk past somebody, you know, from my high school days in, you know, in the mall or something, and I don't got no tie. I don't got no feeling. Matter of fact,
I'm like, start chasing them like a magnet and end up, you know.
I'm like, what in the world was I thinking half the time? Right. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
you got some soul shame, what you got.
That's a better word.
Soul regret.
Yeah, that's a better word. Yes, sir. So, I mean, let's stop making everything so deep.
Right.
No, you shouldn't have slept with a million people, but you're not tied to them. You're tied to your husband.
And let's be clear. I know that people want to spiritualize sexual activity in that way, and that there may be some element of how your mind and your heart does pour into more so yourself, like what you've emptied out of yourself, given up of yourself, as opposed to somebody, whatever the lingo, depositing something in you and all of that talk. But all relationships tug at our hearts and our minds and shape us in some way or another. A friend, if you and me fell out right now, I would be forever changed, both by the positive, you know, and the negative.
Absolutely.
And I felt probably what some people call this soul tie feelings towards people I don't talk to anymore, or I'm not in relationship anymore, and the sex had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It could be a person of the same gender. you know, yeah. a friend, mm-hmm. A family member. Relationships in general, making oneself vulnerable in general, opening up a person's heart, revealing a part of your story, your mind, and including, yes, your physicality, your body, you know, you know, that plays a part. But the idea, I don't believe in soul ties or soulmates, personally. I don't believe in either one. There's not just one soulmate out there for you and you missed them and all that. I think certain people just mesh. There's probably somebody who's your opposite you could probably get along with pretty well. If you had never met Tiffany and I had never met Shamika, there might right. be somebody who you have a bunch of things in common with if we had never met. And then God, just by his graciousness and providence, places with who we're with. And by the way, we made decisions too, free will, before, during, you know, to keep this thing going. So I feel like we over-spiritualize it. And then they're doing it without scripture on top of that.
Right. And some of y'all ain't got soul ties. Y'all got chlamydia. Call it with me.
So syphilis.
You need to go to the doctors. Get some pills.
Cut. Hey, Mike, about to be. We have some technical difficulties. That little duck is gonna come up.
Soul ties. Oh,
yeah, I bet you do remember them. Every time you have a flare up. Hey.
All these commercials
don't be on TV for nothing. Somebody needs this stuff.
Y'all out here with some Cialis up this month.
But you're right. I mean, but in a way, Jeff, you're absolutely right. There are lots of things that just happen to us and we go through. And by the way, that is one of them, but to be honest, because, you know, that's dirty. It's far more common than people want to claim. And you can't have that many partners and not have something that's been gone on.
Right.
It could be a pregnancy scare.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a person who is supposed to be supposedly off limits,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it could be, you know, a guilt betrayal of someone you were with or whatever. That's the tie.
Yeah.
That's the tie. You know, and I don't think people want to admit that, because I almost feel like they want to dumb it down to physicality and try to make physicality a function of spirituality.
Right.
When physicality is really just the natural manifestation of what you have already allowed. Because if Jesus says it like this, since we want to preach, if you've looked at a woman in that way and you've played it out in your head that way, it's as if you did it, which means
right.
the desire, the tie, whatever you want to call it, was mental. It was spiritual. It was already there. And so there were some people who have been in situations. I've been there. You've been there. By the time we got there, wasn't to it but to do it.
Right.
Wasn't exactly. to think about.
Exactly.
And there are people in our, and like, let's be honest, if there were people around that we've always crushed on, come on, let's be honest. We've always had people we crushed on. Mm-hmm. So let's say both me and you, not married, not betraying our wives, but if that person we crushed on ever gave us the time of day and we found ourselves in a spot, even if it just meant vibing, just getting in a close setting to kind of really vibe. It ain't got to be sex. We're going to feel a certain, what we would call consummation of what we'd always yearn for, which right. is the chance to get next to and close to this person, even if it's not actual sex.
Right.
A conversation we always wish they had. I wonder what it'd be like to just have a friendly, you know, just be that close.
Well, that's intimacy, man. I think that's intimacy.
Yeah.
That's right. intimacy. The not the actual sex part of it. I mean, you know, there's been weak sex, there's been good sex, and you know, but that intimacy part of it, when you know you're vibing and this person, you know, literally thinks like you, acts like you, y'all
yeah.
have those same
yeah.
desires, y'all have those same wants in life, and that's like you said, that's the soul tie. And some you know, you like, man, you know, this is it right here.
Right.
So,
yeah, absolutely. And so I just feel like, I think that's another attempt. I hate to sound like the old school preacher, but the world of seeking something outside of biblical truth. How do I answer for this emptiness and this turmoil and this instability? Well, I have to make up a condition that now becomes my alibi.
Wow.
For why I will not engage in a disciplined lifestyle. I'm crazy because I slept with too many people. Makes sense to me. People will tell you.
Yeah.
All them spirits you let up in you. If you slept with three men, you got three spirits in you. No, you don't. I'm sorry. No, you don't. First of all, it would be false to say that human beings are putting spirits in other human beings.
Absolutely.
Let's just be clear here. There's only two spirits at work, and I'm talking in generalities. I ain't about to get in no demon argument with nobody. But there's only two spirits at work here. It's the spirit of Christ by the Holy Spirit and the spirit of darkness through Satan. Now, you can unpack that with angels and, you know, whatever. God bless y'all. You got to know much more than I do. But all this stuff like the spirit of Jeff is up. No, stop that. Stop that. And if he was angry, that's why you angry. No. Mm. Yeah. To me, I feel like that is almost like like you have embraced a certain schizophrenia. You've embraced a certain multi, and it, because that helps explain, you're no longer responsible if it's somebody else's fault.
Right. I hear you, man. That's good stuff.
What did Janet say? Jeanette said, but did not God say there is no temptation that he has not provided a way of escape? Well, I don't disagree with that. You know, and I fully agree with that. There's no temptation that God will not bring things to us to purposely make us fall, or that there is no, it might be the hardest thing in the world to do, might even bring death upon you or great consequence. But I just feel like that hard choice is getting swallowed up by the easy answer of I laid with too many people and, you know, I didn't get, I can't settle down with a man because I was with too many people outside of marriage. No, you still in love with that lifestyle outside of marriage. And a lot of people are scared of the commitment. And Pastor Harrison said it. I'm sorry I passed you up earlier in the conversation. But Pastor Harrison said, we don't know what it takes. I'll put it up myself. We don't know what it takes nor the responsibility to be married. And the fact is, there are a lot of people who do understand and they are not about to be tied to that. And that's why these are people who would rather work a part-time temporary job then get tied into a place where they're actually counted on for the long haul. And thank you, Tatum. It's lazy theology. Thank you. Yes. And preachers need to stop preaching that.
That's it.
Preaching lazy theology. If you're getting your theology from Facebook and Steve Harvey books, you need to turn your license in. I'm sick of hearing Tyler Perry speeches over the pulpit. Stop that. Mm-hmm. Stop this.
60 days. Buy a cow, all that. Get out of here. Get out of here with all that.
If a man truly love you, he'll come back around, wait on him. Not while he banging 60 other women. You better go on somewhere and find somebody that loves you. That's going to respect you. We'll get up there and preach that stuff. And then let's go one more. Not only do we lose scripture, but then we take one person's testimony and try to make it everybody else's norm.
Right.
So you trying to live through one, and thank God for their fairy tale ending to what was probably a decade of hell. But now you got other people talk about, I'm waiting on mine too, and I'm going to wait this out too. How everybody still waiting on Boaz? That dude is dead. He's dead. Boaz is dead. He is dust. Boaz doesn't exist. All y'all, hey y'all, Boaz is gone. He's not waiting for you at the supermarket. He is not at the Christian Singles Conference. He is
and not Jesus ain't your husband.
And Jesus is not your husband.
Jesus wouldn't like you if he...
Boaz doesn't care. Uh-oh, I'm about to go real deep. Boaz don't care how much you shout and worship and do all this. Matter of fact, some of y'all are scaring good men away by trying to compare them to Jesus and trying to act like just being in a basic relationship is some kind of act of worship. I'm worshiping it. You better eat that salad and shut up and tell me about your day. Are you?
I guess the new thing. I guess the new thing is to, you know, call your boyfriend or your girlfriend king and queen, and you know, good morning, king. Good morning, my king.
Man, you called it Captain Crunch.
Work at McDonald's.
Value king. Okay, but what I'm saying is, we develop deep beliefs. We develop deep beliefs based off of other people's experiences. And I just don't believe. Pastor Jeff, I'll tell anybody. Me and Shamika got married fairly young.
Uh-huh.
I would not recommend it to most people.
I definitely wouldn't. I got married young, and I thank God y'all got married and y'all was able to stay. But, you know, I got married and I did not live a life, and I wanted, and I got, when I got old enough, I wanted to live. I wanted to live. I wanted to see what life was about. I wanted to know what fraternities was about. I wanted to know what it was to be out there. I'd missed out on partying, and I just could not. I could not stay. And you know, people always say you made it. Yes, I did make the choice. I made the choice to be married. I made the choice to be unmarried. I just did. It was
right,
me.
Right.
I don't. I would never hold my ex-wife. Done everything right. I just couldn't do it. I would not advise it. I would advise you to, you know, listen, you're 18 years old. You don't even know what being a man is yet.
Right.
You
and
don't.
Most people are maturing later in life. Like you got some 25-year-olds and 28-year-olds. It's like, dude, did you graduate yesterday? Like, what is wrong with you? Right.
Exactly. And I know they've said, you know, the women mature faster than men and all that stuff. I don't know about all that. All I know is that, you know.
It's true.
All I know is that, you know, you need to make sure this is something you're good and ready for because, you know, it's a job. You have to work at it. You have to work at loving your wife. You know, if your phone is more acquainted with your fingers than your wife is, you got issues.
Bruh. And vice versa.
Absolutely.
And vice versa. And I love how you said it, you know, it's a choice. Now let's be honest, Jeff. It's a choice every day, every week, every month, every year. I had the itch. You go through the itch a couple years in. And it's not, you know, and I heard somebody joke about the honeymoon period. If you go through a honeymoon period and the honeymoon's over, then you weren't really in love. Stop that. There really is a honeymoon period. Everything's kind of working out. You know, it's still fresh. You're still learning each other. And the point about the honeymoon period is you're experiencing new things together, not just sex,
Right,
but you're experiencing, you know, you're going out and buying your first real furniture set or, heck, you get your first taxes back, Mary, you know, or whatever. It is a honeymoon period. You get to do stuff first. Everybody's still celebrating you and all of that stuff. But you do have to make the choice to be in it for the long haul.
Absolutely.
To not scratch every itch.
And you know, some of those things that once you thought were once cute sometimes end up getting on your nerve. Like, you know, that ain't cute no more.
Right.
You know,
stop that right now.
Just stop, you know. So, we change. We talk about as pastors how things change throughout the years and how we have different congregations. You change, you know, you may have met this person as, you know, Thug Life Jeff. Now, you know, right. 10 years down in the marriage, you're married to Pastor Jeff and you still want the thug.
I'm not a thug anymore. Tiffany, punch me in the face.
I'm using Jeff as an example.
No, Thug Life Jeff.
I'm just saying. People change.
Like, where the dope at? You're right.
Many people can't matriculate in marriage. You have to be able to move. You have to be able to adjust. And you know, you have to. That's where that for better or worse come in.
Absolutely.
You know I mean, are you really willing to stick it out?
You might have a role reversal. I'll give you a perfect example. And I'm not. You know, my wife can come down here right now. I mean, when my wife and I were dating and first got married, I mean, she was a wonderful young lady, you know, had, you know, a couple, you know, of course she was very conservative, so never really seriously dated or had experience with other men and all that stuff. But I was the awkward, dorky dude. I still am awkward and dorky, you know, I'm still a nerd and all that. But I was like a nobody, and she was, her family and her were well-loved in the church, beautiful young lady, you know, and all that. So I'm just basically happy to be with her. I'm just like, wherever you going, y'all got a district meeting? All right, I'll be there. I'm just chasing you around. And I'm talking in marriage. It's flipped. You know, I'm Pastor Todd now. You know, it's, you know, and now everywhere she goes, she's Pastor Todd's wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's been a reversal of roles. Her coping with a more, she always knew I was going to be a minister. Everybody was saying all this stuff. But this world we're in now, where she can't go into a grocery store, that's a different dynamic.
Right.
And believe it or not, those are the types of things that'll kind of work on a person and feed other parts of their life when struggles come up.
Right.
When there is pain, like, oh man, if I, you know, we have a rough go of it for an extended amount of time. And she's like, you know what? I can be free from all this stuff and just be anonymous again. And there are people in positions like ours, especially pastor and first ladies, where that's one of the drivers, is I don't have to be in this role anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there is a lot that is attributed to, like you said, marriage, that people have to really work for. And I really want to touch on this before we go, Pastor Jeff. I do believe that traditional relationships, as much as I don't want to sound judgmental or that I'm excluding anybody, but they have always also been a bedrock of our Black communities. And the more we see that breaking down, and it's not that we know there's a bunch of brothers out there that had the traditional family and another one somewhere else too. We know that. But even the dismissal of even the image of the traditional family being present has been a massive detriment to the Black community.
Yeah.
The idea that you're not supposed to have babies with one person. You're almost supposed to have two and three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went from totally shaming people, like literally throwing them away, which was wrong. Absolutely wrong. To totally promoting the idea that you're supposed to have two. If something, you don't have two, three baby daddy, something wrong with you.
Right, right, right.
You know, all your kids have the same last name. What's wrong with you? or there's this, like, you know, I've been talking about judgment the last few weeks. There's this automatic, oh, you think you're better than me.
Right, right.
Oh, you think you're better than me. Y'all putting up all them happy pictures, you and your family, and you've been married this long. Who you think you are? I don't care. I'm going to keep putting them up because I get 500 likes. I don't care. Forget y'all. Y'all about to go like them right now. So go on ahead and hit that like button. While you at it. But Crystal said, I think that's my cousin there. Is there a scripture that says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the other world? Absolutely. And I think that means that whatever temptations we might be dealing with that has the evil intent behind it, the evil force behind it, if we have Jesus on the inside, and I think that's what's broken down a lot of people who want to believe in the Christian ideal, is that they said, I heard one brother, I won't say his name, but he said, I had a saved, sanctified mom and dad, rolled on the floor every Sunday, spoke in tongues, and couldn't stay together. Couldn't stay together. She's still trying to figure out who he's messing with. But doing everything, even beyond, you know, we're talking holiness, living, supposedly, and condemning other folk,
right,
the stuff they're doing. So, yes, that's the ideal, but it's not always the reality. And so what I would say is that the 21st century that we think is warped is really because these people have become the products of the 20th century that was corrupt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These people didn't come from nowhere.
And I would just say also, you know, to a lot of these married couples, you're going to have trials, issues. Stop believing that all your tape player got is a rewind button.
Right, right.
You know,
help him, Jeff. Help him, Jeff.
You got to press fast forward and play at some time. Going back, you know, if you're going to forgive, and I mean, it's very hard. And I know people say, you got to forgive and forget. Sometimes you ain't going to forget, but you still can let go.
Right.
You can still let go. Stop bringing up, you know, there are some bricks in a marriage that should not be pulled out. There are some bricks. There are some things you should not say. There are some things, there are some words that you put out that you can't take back. You can't put back in. I don't care what it is. You know, because you know everything about your husband, you know everything about your wife, you know things that nobody else knows. And when you tug on their heartstrings,
with that stuff,
you know, that's the kind of stuff that will break it up.
Yeah, you pull on that emergency brake.
Yeah. It's going to stop.
And if you don't tell anybody.
Right, right.
Just bringing it up to the person.
Right, yes.
Like, you going to bring, you know.
Oh, that we don't go there.
Right.
We don't go there.
Big Mike, I mean, he summed it up. He said many times the older folks hid their problems instead of talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. And one of my goals and dreams this year is to talk with older couples about real struggles.
Right.
Now, that might be painful for some, and some should not unpack. Like you said, some people should not go back and unpack that. Others who might be stronger, or just their demeanor, their personality allows for them to do it, because mm-hmm. everyone's not the same. And by the way, everybody doesn't have to be transparent about everything to be real.
Right.
It is not my job to air out my family's dirty laundry just to prove to somebody that we've been through something.
That's right. That's right. That's
it's
right.
not my job. And then people, oh, you still think, I bet you have problems too. Or I know somebody. Yeah, you probably do. I'm still not going to get on Facebook and talk about it. And?
Yes, yes,
you
know, yes.
You want to go there and knock yourself out. But the fact of the matter is that and a lot of people have lived like you're not keeping it real in a relationship until you've exposed everything in your relationship to the world. People practically announcing every time they have sex nowadays.
And you don't matter. You don't got to expose everything to the world. You got to expose everything to your wife or your husband.
And by the way, we see folks that's happy and we know you happy. And the more you keep trying to tell the world how satisfied you are, the more you're making your mate more attractive for other people.
Absolutely. Sometimes we are training our replacement.
Thank you, Jeff. Training our replacement.
Listen, stop playing that game with your husband. Who would you date if I wasn't with you?
Absolutely. Yep.
Don't play that game. Don't you don't need to tell them everybody you had sex with.
I was dead before you. I'll be dead after you.
Exactly.
That's all you need to know. I was dead before. I'll be dead after.
That's it.
But I mean, I love it, Jeff. So I want to finish with this because it's about time to go. Do you feel the gender dynamics have flipped too much from a male-dominated, you know, pendulum to what appears to be, in many cases, a female-dominated pendulum in relationships? Obviously, that's where most of the advice is being thrown around. It's, you know, women. And we all know that there is a correction of sorts to previous toxic, chauvinistic, paternalistic, right. patriarchal systems. Do you feel that pendulum has swung too far in a toxic direction to where basically men feel like they can't be men, speak as men, behave as men? Do you feel that that's almost become a toxic or detrimental effect on modern relationships and marriage?
I think it has, only because us as men have allowed it to, regardless of, listen, here it is. Adam or Eve ate first. Adam ate second, but God still called him the first sinner.
Right.
We still have the responsibility, even when it's not our fault. So we have to take the stance that says, you know what, regardless of what, you know, sometimes like you said, the pendulum has swung. The woman may make more money. The woman may be getting all the whatever you want us to call it. But we still have to say, you know what? I'm still the man of this house. I still have.
There's a lot of houses where they're not able to say that anymore. And it's not about the money. It's about the way society has flipped. Like you said, we still have the responsibility, but we don't have the same rule in the house as our fathers and grandfathers did. Well, it used to be, this is my house.
Right.
Right.
I think that's on the man, though. I think that's on the man. I think that has to come in before the marriage starts.
Okay.
I think that has to, you know, that has to be established that, you know what I'm saying? I am the husband. I'm the house man. I banned the house. I am the man of this house. You know, I took you out of the umbrella of your mother and father. You came in. And probably a lot of it has to do with, once again, we have not, you know, a lot of times we have moved in with the wife or the girlfriend.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
She had the house and we moved in with her and, you know, we driving her car and, you know,
I feel you.
You know, so we have to bring something to the table that, you know, I mean, don't just act like you the man, but you, all you doing is playing PlayStation all day.
But I'm not even talking about that kind of man. You know, Sister Charlene said, is the respect there? I think in a lot of ways it's not the same brand of respect that was more born out of fear and expectation to play a role as before. And I do feel that there is an imbalance because the responsibility is still there. God still holds the man accountable. But socially, women have been given a more egalitarian, more equal role in the, and sometimes kind of running it like, you know, it's just girls run the world kind of a society. And thank you, Pastor Harrison, because that's what I was going to finish up with. I have been appalled at the number of people who now have struggles in their marriage. And when you ask them, did you receive counseling? Mm-hmm. Barely at all. And Jeff, neither of us are qualified, licensed counselors. But I will brag on us. What you just said about being a husband who bans the house and talking about, we both have the capacity and ability, and we do, actually sit down and go through the biblical expectations. And then I know we both and we do have the capacity to talk about the realistic challenges and struggles. And I have been so disappointed even hearing who married the couples.
Exactly.
And then when I asked what was said, and they just say stuff like, what one guy was like, yeah, they just asked me if I was going to take care of my dad. Am I going to keep a job? Am I going to do? That's a vow. I mean, that's what you say I do for.
Right.
But have we actually talked about, okay, how we deal with, I talk about outside influence. Who's your circle of friends? What right. are your, what families do you come from? Were you the oldest? Were you the youngest? And again, I'm not licensed, but experience can teach you some things too.
Absolutely.
Go get a book, Pastor. Go get a book. At least start somewhere, even if you don't have a chance to go to school. You know, learn yourself. And a lot of people have not done that. And we know that when people are ready to get married, a lot of what their advice is going in one ear and out the other. But I still think that there's value to seeds being planted.
Right.
And people not being able to say, nobody told me that.
Right.
And that's what I feel like, you know, that happens a lot. So we appreciate everybody's comments. We're coming up on the end. We want to bring Big Mike in. As he's coming in, we want to thank, again, our sponsor, Phillips Care. This time, the Phillips Care family of businesses. We are talking about Phillips Care Cleaning. They clean up the mess that causes you stress. I know it by heart now. You can visit PhillipsCareLLC.com. Phillips Care on Facebook. They will take care of you. Fernando Phillips is the owner operator. They do indoor, outdoor, residential, commercial, haulaway, landscaping, plowing, everything you might need concerning a building. Phillips Care LLC can do it in the Mahoning Valley and beyond. So we thank you, Phillips Care family of businesses, Phillips Care training and health, Phillips Care cleaning and commercial and building services. We are just so grateful for you. Big Mike, what's your take?
First off, great conversation, by the way. Great conversation. Well, a well-needed conversation. I've noticed that, you know, you guys were talking about, you know, the man being the man of the house and this and that. Society switched up so much, though, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody wants respect. Nobody wants to be talked down to. Nobody wants to be ruled over. And not just in the marriage situation. You know, I look at my job. You know, we had this one boss. He was, you know, he was a little rough around the edges. He would talk to people, talk down to people, and talk to them. You know, not so nice, and it didn't work very well.
Is he older? Is he older, Mike?
Yeah, he's older. Right. So he ruled with that 1960 iron fist, do as I say.
Right. You know?
But his philosophy was no fear, no respect. Now, me in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, if you ride down the street and your tire blow out, ain't nobody gonna stop and help you because right. of the way you talk to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? While you was at work. You know,
and I do think there is a directness that it's funny. It's almost like the way a man used to speak direct and authoritatively over his household as the husband, as the man. Women seem to be able to make those declarations more without rebuttal than a man does. And to your point, Mike, there are a generation of us, including myself, who were raised by those 1960s men.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the values we're carrying into the 21st century. And you have a whole new generation saying, whoa, we don't roll like that.
Right.
And so there's a disconnect.
Right. And two, you know, men are teaching their daughters to be independent.
Right.
To take care of yourself.
Not me. I'm teaching my daughter to stay up in this house the rest of her life. I just said it the other night. Just today, my brothers, my sons got him. I made my sons buy her a card and I got her a rose. I'm your Valentine until you 40.
Well, I mean, when we look at scriptures, how can two walk together unless they agree? I think there has to be some type of agreement. I don't think it's necessarily I rule over you. I rule with the iron fist.
Well, some did.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what we need to teach, not what has been taught.
Right.
You know, there has to be some type of agreement, but in the end, somebody has to make a decision, and I think that decision has to fall on the man.
But that decision has to be respected. That role has to be respected. Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, if the respect doesn't exist before the decision time comes, there will be a major breakdown when it's time to make a decision. Point blank, period.
Right.
And so let's say a man and a woman are both making their own money. They have a right. You know, in my world, we still put our money together and do everything. But if my wife's making just as much money as me and she says, I'm ready to turn my car in and buy a new car, and I'm thinking this is going to be detrimental to our finances. It just won't help our long-term goals. You shouldn't do it. I don't want to do it. Don't do it. You can't tell me what to do. I want to do what I want to do. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the world, even in good Christian relationships. I'm talking good. That submission is just not what it used to be. I've watched preachers have to take it. I ain't taking it out. You know, they've taken the word submit out and all that. Now, I explain what it means because that's where counseling comes in. And people might still have a problem with it, but I will have already talked to them about what the scripture really means. But there are people who are refusing, or they say both have to say it to each other and all that. And I'm like, that's not what the little black book say.
Nah.
I read what the little black book say.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes.
Wow. As far as marriage, Tatum Osborne made a comment earlier talking about people spend too much emphasis on the wedding,
right,
and not just the marriage. I'll be married 20 years in May, and sometimes I think back on my wedding. When I was there, I was like, "Yo, this really ain't even for me. This is kind of for everybody else.
That's for everybody else, man."
And I'm spending all that money. Well, you know, whoever. Well, I pitched in a little bit, but regardless, but
you bought a chicken wing.
But I told my daughters, man, bunker wedding, elope, go to Jamaica, get married, come back.
Because you don't want to pay.
Thank you.
We had one of them church balls, man. My dad had to pull out the checkbook at the wedding because more people came to the reception than we anticipated.
Right.
And now I look at the videos, I just get mad. I'm like, I don't know you. I don't know you.
I
don't even like you.
Right. I told mine, look, y'all elope, go to Jamaica, Mexico, wherever, come back, I'll throw you a party. You know what I'm saying? But as far as spending all that money, man, on the...
I ain't even doing that.
Like, come on, man.
I'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
He said Chuck E. Cheese.
One more time for old time's sake.
I went to a wedding about 2 months ago. Dude, they had the ice sculptures.
Yeah.
It was like 100 tables. All of them had the big ornaments. And I'm like, I mean, it was cool. It was nice.
We can't even talk to my boy Terrell, man. This cat had fireworks and didn't like Young Jeezy show up or something. I don't know what it was like. And that's my man. I mean, he did it. He did it. Right. I mean, right. I think you should act your wage.
No doubt.
And
no
not
doubt.
This stuff. But again, I love a beautiful wedding ceremony just like anybody else. But I have sat at many a time at the front of that altar like, this is beautiful. This isn't going to last.
I mean, it's
funny because you can see how they're interacting with each other
at the wedding
over flowers. You can see it. I'm like, okay. Why is the best man and the bride staring at each other so hard? Am I marrying the wrong people? why does the wedding band fit the maid of honor better than the bride? But so a lot has changed. We could unpack this for hours. I think we'll revisit this, fellas. And I think we kind of need to do a man up episode, just like a men's only episode. We might only have like three viewers, but you know, we got to talk about being men in the 20. What is a 21st century man? Have y'all seen this dude that been running everybody down? He has like a video blog podcast or something, and people call in for advice that he just tells them off and tells them how terrible they are.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. First of all, it's not safe for religiously incorrect, even though we're pretty incorrect. But he told this one chick she ain't even that cute.
Wow.
You know, he called this one dude fat, broke, blankety blank blank. You know, and he's giving him like hard advice.
Oh, it's a brother.
Yeah. And people are like calling in.
I seen him on TikTok.
I saw him on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, man. You know.
This one chick was complaining because I don't know, she had kids with him. Then he ended up leaving. So he was like, oh, so you like him broken down. That's right. Your problem.
I'm saying these cats, man, people call in for the abuse, man. After a while,
he was going off on him.
But we have a lot to tackle. And I feel bad, Jeff, if we have these struggles, what does a pastor in 30 years have to worry about?
What is a pastor? It's only getting worse. It's only getting worse.
God bless him.
I wouldn't listen to it. You know, it'd be Ethan and, I mean, Elias and Christian. They'd be,
I would be like, Dad. I'm gonna be like, Dad. I ain't marrying them. Forget me. I ain't marrying nobody.
All you gotta do is tell them. You know, they drive a good car and everything's good.
Right. I ain't marrying nobody. I'm just blessed. I can't help it, bruh. It's been a good one.
Do you have any rapid fire question, Mike, before we go?
Nah, man. Nah. Nope. Nothing at all. Y'all good.
Who wishes football would come back next week?
Oh man, dude, I like football. Like,
I already ran out of Batman movies to watch.
I like, you know, like early in the season when COVID hit, you know, they had the games on Sundays, and every now and then they have one that, you know, Tuesday 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Thursday 7 o'clock.
That was cool.
That was cool. I missed that.
Yeah, man.
I'm gonna say this before we get off, y'all. Listen to the marriage couples, man, to the married couples out there, and those of you who are expecting to be married, make sure you know and you understand that marriage isn't just to make you happy, but to make you holy as well. So there's other things outside of sex, outside of love, outside all that stuff that marriage entails that God needs to put a stamp of approval on. So get it right, man.
Everything's holy but that bed. That bed is undefiled, Doc.
Hey, Glory. Don't I know?
Here y'all go. So you had to start. You had to start.
Mike, take us out.
Jonah out of that.
Thank y'all for watching.